And I believe that I have on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Oh, so I hear you.
I'm so happy that we're on.
Yeah,
we
are on.
To work out.
Yeah, and it's a good opportunity to say good morning to Nativ.
And good morning, Rabbi.
Good morning, Nativ, and how are you?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
Thank God, good.
So, Parshat HaShavua.
This week's Torah portion is Parshat Vayechi, which is the last chapter in the book of Genesis,
Bereshit.
The book of Bereshit. So we complete the first of the five books of Moses. We talk about the end of Jacob's life. He lives his final 17 years of his life in Egypt. And before his passing, he asks Joseph to make an oath that he will bury him in the Holy Land. Because, as we saw last week, why was Jacob making Joseph make an oath that he will bury him in the Holy Land? Obviously, they weren't going to stay there.
Yeah.
And the reason why he made him is that, you know, when Jacob was going to come down to Egypt, when he heard that Joseph was still alive, and he didn't see him for 22 years, he didn't want to go down originally, because he was all in a great land. He was in Israel at that time. He was spiritually, everything was great. He didn't want to go down to a low world spiritually, into Egypt, the lowest levels of spirituality. And he asked God if he should go. And God said, no, you should go, absolutely. And he asked God also is that he make me a promise that the Jews will not remain in Egypt. And God made him that promise. He didn't say that the Jews aren't going to be slaves. He said that they will not remain in Egypt, as we see that the Jews were freed and taken out of Egypt. And Jacob wanted to make sure that Joseph will make sure to take him as well and not forget. He blesses Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim.
Yeah.
And we see that he blesses also, obviously, his other sons. And once Jacob passes away, there was a large funeral procession. Pharaoh's ministers, you know, the leading citizens of Egypt and the Egyptians accompanied the funeral as well. And everyone knows where is Jacob buried. He was buried in Marat HaMachpelah in Hebron.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it says that Jacob lives the final 17 years of his life in Egypt. And Rashi, the main commentator, says that those were his best years of his life. And you ask and you say, what, really? In Egypt was his 17 of his best years of his life? He had many other years before it when he had the incidents of Joseph and the incidents of his brother, but before that, he had life was good.
Yeah.
And if you go and look, the numerical value for good, the Hebrew word, for good is tov.
Yeah.
The numerical value...
He's 17.
17.
Yeah.
Those were the 17 years of the best years of his life. Now, it's interesting because we see that Jacob blesses his children and also his two grandchildren, the sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Yaakov designates his grandchildren as the... for the lack of better terms, the prototype for future parental blessings. Because the Torah says, so he blessed them that day, saying, by you shall Israel bless, saying, may God make you like Ephraim and like Manasseh. You know, we say that, we give the blessing to our kids on Friday night. We say, Kisimcha alekim k'Ephraim v'chim Manasseh, for the boys, or Yisimcha alekim k'tzar rifka rachel v'leyah. And we're giving them that blessing that they should be like Ephraim and Menasheh. A lot of people give that blessing before Yom Kippur. Like I said, people give it on Friday night before Kiddush, after they come home from synagogue. So by doing so, we're not only blessing our children, but we are also expressing our innermost feelings and hopes concerning how we would wish them to be. And so the first question that really comes to mind is, why did Jacob single out his two grandchildren, Ephraim and Manasseh, to be examples that all parents should aspire that their children emulate and be like? You know, why didn't he pick some of his own sons, such as Yehuda, who was a great leader, Yisachar, who was a big Torah scholar, Zevulun, who was a big philanthropist, or maybe Joseph, the righteous one. Why did he choose that people should try and be like Ephraim and Manasseh? And also, what is the intent of this bracha? What was Yaakov, along with the parents of today, anticipating and praying for? What did he want? And I think something in this answer is something that is so profound and so such a strong message for us as parents. You know, Jacob and his family grew up in the Holy Land of Israel. They lived in their own protected and shielded community. Everything, they were shielded. They were secluded from the outside world. Everything was good, because they knew only good. Now, Ephraim and Manasseh, on the other hand, were the first two members of Jacob's family that were born and grew up in Egypt. Now, they were exposed to the alien way of life from a Torah perspective, and they had all the amenities and then what they needed of the secular world. Nevertheless, didn't make a difference. They remained attached to Torah and strongly committed to Judaism, to Yiddishkeit. Even their grandfather, Yaakov, was so amazed when he saw them, because when he came down to Egypt, it was the first time that he saw them, right? And he expressed his disbelief to Joseph by telling him, I had not thought to see your face. In other words, I was worried about what you would look like when I saw you. That, you know, you became so part of the Egyptian culture, maybe you changed the way of life. I was worried. Not only are you the same as you were when you parted some many years ago, nevertheless, God has let me see also your children. Though they grew up in Egypt, they have not assimilated, and their appearance and way of thinking matches this all of what my children had and my grandchildren had, who lived those years in Egypt. And Jacob was seemingly very surprised. This is like an incredible experience for him. So no, even though Yaakov was very sick, Jacob was sick and he was frail, nevertheless his wisdom was very sharp. He knew very well that his descendants would go through many exiles and have to raise children in environments that are not so forthcoming. They're a little alienated from the Torah thinking. And Jewish children would grow up in societies and surroundings where they would not necessarily see a strong or abundance of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism. And parents they struggle to instill the Torah ideas and ideals that they want their kids to have, despite the forces of the world that we live in. And this was the bracha that Yaakov was giving his children. May you be like Ephraim and Manasseh. Let it be evident to all that the bracha that was given by our forefather Jacob is that we, even though that they're still born in something like this, in a world like this, nevertheless, they had strong values from home. The parents never gave up. Joseph never gave up. He still taught them. And that is our, you know, I remember hearing a story once. Henry Kissinger,
mm-hmm.
who was a Secretary of State in the Nixon administration in America,
yeah.
was putting much pressure on Israel. And the Prime Minister, Golda Meir, sent him a note appealing to his conscience. And he said, Mr. Kissinger, you know, whatever he said, and Mr. Kissinger wrote back and he said, Dear Golda, I hope you realize that I'm an American, a diplomat, and a Jew, all in that order. In other words, I'm first an American, then a diplomat, and then a Jew. And Golda responded, Dear Henry, I trust you still remember that we Jews read from right to left. So, regardless, you can be an American, a diplomat, and a Jew, the Jew has to be first. That's what he was saying, he reads from right to left versus left to right.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. Regardless of the world that we live in, we have to remember a Jew who we are. We're a Jew first. Everything else is important. Everything else has meaning, and we have to instill in our lives. But if we instill in our kids and in our own lives that we are a Jew first, regardless of where we live, regardless of the things that happen in our lives or the world that we are around, nothing is going to make us change. We're still going to be a Jew first. And that is why we give this blessing to our kids, that we should be like Menashe and Ephraim, that even though they were born in Egypt, he was still so surprised that they still had that Jewish and spiritual life part of them.
That's nice. And that's ending the book of Genesis.
That ends the book of Genesis, and it's a, you know, we go from here, we go to Shemot.
Shemot, yeah.
The Exodus. So there's a lot of very important lessons that we can literally learn from all this portion and the next whole book. So I encourage everyone, if you have an opportunity, pick up a Chumash, pick up the five books of Moses, a book online. There really isn't an excuse, and read them. They're fascinating stories, and there's so many lessons that every person can take into their lives.
Or go to the weekly Torah study.
Exactly. So there you go.
And Rabbi, what about services?
So we have services Friday evening at 5:00, Shabbat morning 9:30, and Sunday 8:15. It's held at the Shar in the chapel. And then we have services Monday morning and Thursday morning at 7:15 at the Parrot House. A great way to start the day off strong and go straight to work. You know, it's interesting. The people that come to the Minyan in the morning on Monday and Thursday are not primarily retired people. We have some retired, but there are a lot of lawyers. Accountants that come, they want to start the day off right. So come and try it once. I encourage everyone. Your day will be amazing.
The best way to start a day.
That's right.
Rabbi, I want to wish you a good weekend and Shabbat
you
Shalom.
You too. Shabbat Shalom. You and Shabbat. Have a good Shabbat Nativ.
Shabbat Shalom.
And we'll speak next week.
Bye.
Be well. Bye-bye.